FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is the last day of February 2017. Time waits for no one, and neither does the IRS. And there are some important changes going on that you need to know about. And we've got the online tax man, onlinetaxman.com, Vincenzo Villamina. He's a CPA expert in international finance, but you can't be an expert in international taxation without being an expert in good old plain regular taxation as well. Welcome, Vincenzo. Great to have you on the show.
Gary, thank you for having me.
Hey, so just a couple things first, because we want to talk about what's going on in the international taxation scene. But Trump pretty much did an executive order saying to the IRS and all other agencies of the U.S. government, He didn't say don't enforce Obamacare. He just said make it easy on the people filing their taxes. I don't know. Would you explain exactly what he did? Because I'm not exactly sure what he did.
Yeah, I mean, it is almost like not being enforced. I mean, the thing is Obamacare has been so new. So even in the first year, it wasn't fully enforced, meaning that, you know, you had to kind of self-report if you had if you had insurance or not. And then last year was the first year where they did actually cross-check people's insurance coverage with the what's called 1095A and B and C, which are basically forms that the insurance providers would provide to the IRS. And So with the Trump executive order, it might mean that there's no cross-checking or there's no sort of cross-reference. And yeah, I mean, that it might not be enforced. So it remains to be seen kind of the full scope and really what happens there. But like I said, I mean, I think it might kind of go back to that first year of Obamacare where, you know, it wasn't enforced. People were even, you know, just checking boxes saying that they were part of some religious organization or something else. And that they weren't eligible for Obamacare and people kind of got away with it. So we'll kind of see what happens with that as it develops. But that's my general take on that situation.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation because all these Republicans ran on dumping Obamacare. And, you know, now they don't know what to do about it. But they're going to have to do something because the system can't stand the way it is now.
Right.
It seems to be imploding on its own, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, something has to be done. I mean, obviously, there has to be an alternative to hopefully kind of help solve the problems, but maintain the good things. But I mean, it's
a mess.
This point's a little bit of a standstill.
Yeah. So then we go to this other thing, FATCA, which I think you probably should explain exactly what it is, what it's done, and how bad it's been for Americans in general who are trying to do business overseas, and the impetus for the Republican administration and Congress to do away with it.
Right. FATCA was a bill actually attached to stimulus bill seven, eight years ago. But basically what it is it is it's called the Foreign Account Tax and Compliance Act. And really what it is it puts pretty absurdly low thresholds on Americans who have to report their investments abroad, right, or bank accounts abroad. So what it is if someone has over $10,000 in one bank account or multiple bank accounts, if the highest balance in aggregate is over $10,000, they have to report all those bank accounts or investments. It could be pension funds, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, et cetera. So really what it does is it puts a strain in it, and it puts kind of onerous regulations on Americans that either live abroad or are investing abroad, have some level of foreign interests, and it makes it report them. And so, you know, as I'm sure a lot of people have seen over the last couple of years, as FATCA has kind of come into compliance and banks have had to comply and the word's gotten out, so to speak, we've actually seen quite a considerable amount of renunciations and people renouncing. And a lot of it, you know, is not people that, oh, they don't want to pay tax or whatnot. But really, it's more the, you know, average common Joe that doesn't want to do these filing requirements because it is quite onerous. Or B, people whose lives have been affected because, you know, there are certain banks in Switzerland and France, I mean, in many countries in the world that don't want to be a part of FATCA, they don't want to comply. And hence, they are kicking U.S. citizens out of their banks, meaning they're closing their accounts. I've seen people that have literally lost mortgages, or you know, have been rejected from jobs because, for example, the pension carrier of the employer didn't want to have them as a client. And so, really, FATCA has been a little bit of a mess. I mean, again, it was created to combat people that might have been hiding money in the Swiss Alps. But it really backfired. And so, again, now there's enough movement to potentially change FATCA or repeal it in order to, yeah, to change what's really a pretty bad piece of legislation.
Yeah. So the Republican Congress wants to do something about it. And I think Trump does as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
And perhaps perhaps something will happen here.
Yeah, perhaps something will happen. I mean, you know, I don't know if full pack of repeal is in place. I mean, because there are a lot of banks that have spent a lot of money to be in compliance. And there's also something called Common Reporting Standards, which is essentially the world version of FATCA. So there might be some changes to kind of be in compliance with what the rest of the world is doing. But I mean, at the end of the day, secrecy is kind of essentially gone in the world. And Big Brother, whether it's the U.S. or other sovereign governments, are essentially trying to monitor their citizens, their residents. And so, you know, there are very few countries that are, you know, not trying to do this. And so we'll see kind of how FATCA develops, like I said, with the rest of the world and their reporting standards. But again, that's another kind of crazy development, if you will, in the world of international taxation.
Yeah. So as somebody who handles international tax matters for Americans, since you're here quite often, what are some other things that get in the way of Americans doing business abroad?
I mean, again, I think it's just, you know, it's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of compliance requirements. If you own a company, like a foreign company, if you own foreign mutual funds, if you own a foreign trust, I mean, the U.S. just has a lot of reporting requirements. And again, it's not as if you are, you know, being taxed anymore on some of this stuff. In fact, if you're living abroad, as a U.S. citizen, there are some benefits, but it's the matter of having to report all this stuff in the owner's reporting requirements. And people kind of get turned off, or, you know, sometimes accountants that don't have this experience kind of turn their clients off in investing abroad and whatnot. And that's kind of where it puts people at a disadvantage because, again, they might want to diversify, et cetera, but they can't because they're too scared of getting a $10,000 fine for reporting a bank account or not reporting a foreign company together correctly, et cetera. And so, again, that puts people at a disadvantage. But like I said, there's definitely advantages to trying to do a business abroad. If one were to live abroad, they get and they either establish their residency in another country or are abroad for 330 out of a 365 day period, they get what's known as the foreign earned income exclusion, which is essentially $100,000 tax free. And again, if people, you know, let's say might have a virtual company and are living abroad, or specifically even if they're living in a very low tax jurisdiction, they might, you know, be able to run everything through their company, which is not in the States because they live abroad, and they will be subject to something like what's known as tax deferral, right? Which is kind of what the Apples and Googles of the world are doing by keeping their money offshore. And then potentially that money could be repatriated to the United States in the form of a tax holiday, right, where the U.S. allows companies to bring their money back at a low tax rate, a low dividend rate, maybe roughly 5, 10, 15%. And that's another potential step on Trump's agenda will be to potentially allow this tax holiday, which generally does happen every 10, 15, 20 years, depending on who president is. So again, I mean, there are advantages for living abroad or even investing abroad and kind of taking advantage of investments in different currencies, et cetera. But one just has to know there are a lot of reporting requirements for doing so. And that's kind of where, again, Americans are a little bit more shy to pull the trigger on these things just because they know that they're going to have to spend money to hire an accountant or really spend their own time to get the paperwork in order to report it to the United States.
Yeah, it's problematical. What do you think is going to be the upshot of the tax debate that's going on now?
Like I said, I mean, we'll see what happens with FATCA. I don't know if it's going to be repealed. I really don't see it, honestly, because of just we're almost in too deep. But hopefully the standards will get higher, the thresholds. But I do see the tax holiday coming. I mean, again, it generally happens every 15, 20 years. It happened under Bush. And, you know, you see, again, Apple, Google and everyone having a lot of money abroad waiting to bring it back to the United States. And, you know, Trump said it very clearly in one of the debates about allowing this happen. So I do see that happening at some point over the next 4 years.
And tax cuts, you think we're going to see?
Tax cuts too. I mean, yeah, I mean, the corporate tax rate, you know, roughly 35%. I mean, I think that'll definitely go down. That'll help more corporations that want to set up here or that want to keep their business here. As opposed to the individual. But again, I mean, I think even on the individual side, looking at cap gain rates, qualified dividend rates, basically kind of some of the passive investment rates, as well as just standard tax rates, I think will decrease. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the president has a lot of balancing to do, right? Because the interest of kind of keeping taxes low and then figuring out what he wants to do with the budget. But I certainly see some decrease in the tax rates, specifically on corporate and also on individual as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So at this point, it's really just a wait and see because, you know, again, I get a lot of clients kind of asking, well, what do you think is going to happen? And, you know, like I said, I mean, it's tough to predict the future. And, you know, at this point, you really have to wait and see and see kind of what the first 100 days brings and really see what the agenda is to fully assess how the 2017 tax year is going to look out and what decisions people want to make in regards to that.
Yeah. Well, something's got to give. Our system has gotten. What about simplification? You think they're going to do something with that? Revamping the code?
I mean, I think that there should be something done. I mean, again, the code is just archaic. You know, whether they 100% simplify it or they just, you know, make certain changes, et cetera. And like I said, decrease rates is one thing. But I mean, I think that there's so much work to be done. And so it'll be interesting to see if they actually make strides, so to speak, as far as simplifying the code, et cetera.
Well, I guess we're going to find out soon, aren't we?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's kind of an interesting time, obviously, on many, many facets. But like I said, I think with the new administration, I think there's definitely some decisions to be made on the tax side. And so that will be interesting and really see how that develops.
Yeah, well, we're going to find out. So, hey, people want to find out more about what you're doing here, Vincenzo, find you on the web, get more information. What's the best way to do that?
So if you go to the website, onlinetaxman.com, you can fill out for a free consultation, and that's kind of where people find us. My name is Vincenzo, and you could always get me at vincenzo@onlinetaxman.com. So, yeah, if anyone ever has any questions, feel free to get in touch with us. And like I said, we generally help people out with answering questions and kind of give a free consultation so people could ask questions. And if they need help, we could take it from there.
And of course, if you got any questions or comments on this interview or any others that we've done, just send me a email. The email address is kl@carrylutz.com. That's kl@carrylutz.com. Check out our website, sign up for our newsletter, financialsurvivalnetwork.com, and you'll also be able to click through right through Vincenzo's to Vincenzo's website right from the show notes. The Twitter feed is @CarrieLutz, and our Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Feel free to go check us out. Vincenzo, it's been fun talking to you, getting your insights on where this is all heading, because it's going to happen faster than I believe anyone thinks. We've got Trump's speech coming up tonight, and I think that's going to set the course. I think his adversaries on both sides of the aisle are going to be very pressed to try to fight this. It's going to start to take on a life of its own, and I think it's what the country wants, most of the country. And when that's the case, politicians beware. So anyways, Vincenzo, been great having you on. We will talk to you again soon, and good luck.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Carrie. Thank you, everyone. And let's see where this ride takes us.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.